Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And I have three reasons that the Lord wants us to look at this morning. And you'll be shocked by the direction of through which this message will go. The fourth one is a bonus. So people don't get angry with God with that. Hallelujah. So that's why I said three reasons why believers are actually angry with God. Amen. So number one, I'm going straight into the message. No time to check time. Delayed rewards. What did I call number one? Delayed rewards or delayed blessings. Who can relate with just that title alone? Huh? Delayed rewards. One of the favorite tools of the devil is delay. Did you hear that? One of the attacks that the devil will launch at you as a believer, I'm not talking to an unbeliever now, but even for unbelievers, is delay. And you know, we are in a generation where everything is fast, instant. Instant passport. Instant coffee. Instant noodles. In fact, noodles has it instant. Instant burger. Everybody is trying to crash the time, the waiting time. And in business administration is one of the things that, one of the strategies that can make your business sell. Instant. We talk about the last mile. Last mile is if you order for something today and you are in Maiduguri, we are looking at how we can crash the time, you can get your item. And so the reason sometimes why you don't buy an item is because it's taking 24 hours, 48 hours. Who agrees with what I'm saying? So we are already, the system is building in us a system of impatience. Psychologically, we are being wired not to wait anymore. And so that's why you see that the moment people don't even wait, they are at the bus stop and the traffic light is still red. Just 2 seconds, so the fifth guy behind you is already honking like, "Oh God, move now," and all of that. So it's a system, and especially when you're in Lagos, that system, unconsciously, you just see that you are saying no time. No time. No time. No time. No time. Hallelujah. So one of the favorite tools of the devil is delayed. If the devil is going to get you as a believer, one of the things he will use to launch attack against you is delay. And what does delay mean? I want us to look at it. I want you to open your heart, open your mind. Delay means to defer. Delay means to what? To defer. That's number one. Delay means to postpone. It means to suspend. It means to pause or to linger. And the devil uses delay to there are three basic things that the devil will use delay to do in your life. Three basic. I'm not saying that's exhaustive, but three basic things. He will use it to distract you. And you know, sometimes a lot of us believers, when we hear prophetic words, we think God has put a time to it. Hallelujah. Do you agree with what I'm saying? You will get a job. That's a prophetic word, right? And you're looking for a job, or you are even trying to change jobs. What comes into your mind immediately? Huh? Now. That's the thing. You think, it's now. So the moment you don't get the job now, what happens? Depression sets in. You begin to query, and you become anxious. You begin to query, was that what really for me? Can God really be trusted? And it makes us to sometimes even develop this attitude of, "Oh, I'm tired, Jared. We have been hearing the word every time. What else do we want to hear? Hallelujah. So it makes you to, it distracts you. Distract you to not be able to fix your gaze on the ability of God. Number two, the devil will launch delay against you, the attack of delay against you, to discourage you. Discourage you from coming for Bible study. Discourage you from reading your Bibles. Discourage you from praying. I've heard so many testimonies. And so person said he fasted, he prayed, and all of that. God did it. But me, I've fasted, I've prayed. Who has been in that shoe? I've fasted, I've prayed, I've given, I've sown, I've done everything that my pastor told me to do from the Bible, but yet nothing is away. Delay. It's a tactic of the devil to do what? To discourage you, to make you feel like it's not worth it really. Number three thing that the devil uses delay to do in the life of a believer is to destroy you. Hallelujah. The devil does what? He uses delay to destroy the believer. And you see some of these examples that are these examples are manifest in delayed marriage. Delay in childbearing. Delay in getting admission. Some people jam them. Some people is finance. The reason why some people didn't go to school or could not. There were people who actually got admission when they were supposed to get it, but they could not register because of, what's that thing they call again? Acceptance fee. So the devil will launch attack at different directions against you to distract you, to discourage you, or to destroy you. Or you become agitated when people are promoted and for 4 or 5 years you are not being promoted. It's a delay. It's an attack. You know, the believer that is not so wise will just think like, maybe because of that thing that happened that we didn't balance the account very well. That was why they didn't promote me. But you don't know that the devil actually used that to be able to launch attack against you. Hallelujah. Actually, there can be pain in unmet expectations. And that's the reason why you are angry at God. The number one reason why a lot of believers are angry at God is that many of us, we bottle up on met expectations. And I will show you from scripture. Can we read this scripture first? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 2. My first scripture. Proverbs 13 and verse 2. What do we have? Proverbs 13 and verse 12. It says, we know that scripture very well. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do you have it on the screen? Can we echo it together? One, two, go. Well, when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred. It's a common scripture that we all quote. In fact, in Yoruba, I think it's one of the, aside from John 3:16, it's one of the commonest scriptures people quote. Sorry for the oh my mokon share. Hallelujah. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and I will show you three people who had sickness in their heart because their hopes were deferred in scripture. And you'll be shocked. At least three people. Number one, Abraham, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. Abraham said, Lord God, what is my gain seeing that I have no children? Can you give me that scripture on the screen? Please, I need you to be very fast. Very, very fast. You need to walk at the speed of light with me this morning. He said, Abraham, not Abraham. What do we see here? Abraham. And he was saying this, Ishmael had not come at that time. Isaac had not come at that time. The other children that Keturah, right, gave birth to had not come. He had no child yet. And you can almost guess his age. He was around 60, 70, 75. Here. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? I have been going from altar to altar, erect mountains to mountain, erecting altar for you. What will you give me? If you read this, you know the way we talk about Abraham, you think he was just talking calmly. God, where will you give? You know, add emotions to these things. And how do you know that there is emotion there? Lord is one. God is another one. So he was not just calling Lord. Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me you have not given any seed. To me, you have not given child. You have not given me a job. You have not given me a house. You have not given me a car. You have not given me admission. Does this sound like somebody who was experiencing delay? Does this sound like somebody experiencing delay? So when we talk about this thing, it's not just you. Even father of faith experienced it. So what it tells you is that when somebody tells you, delay can be launched against a believer. He says, behold, to me you have not given me a child. And this guy was stupendously rich. You have not given me a child. Lo, one born in my house is mine. There's no one born in my house is mine. He couldn't even lay claim to Eliezer's children. Hallelujah. So Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you will see this. Well, sometimes when we come to church, you know, the devil is never intended. The devil never wants to see you have joy. He said, when expectations are met, when the expectations are realized, he said, it is a tree of life. Hallelujah. When expectations are what? They are met. It is what? A tree of life. So sometimes the reason why you are angry at God is because your expectations are not met. Number two, David. Psalms chapter 42 and verse 1. Psalms 42 and verse 1. It says, as the hand pants after the water, so after the water brooks, my heart pants after you. Give me that scripture, please. 42 and verse 1 and 2 and 3. It says, give me verse 1 first. It says to the chief, as the ark pants after the water brooks, he was saying this not from a place where there is abundance of water. Hallelujah. Not from a place where there is abundance of water. This is from a place where there is scarcity of water, most likely desert. And if you know the system in Israel, do you know that the best farmers in the world are, the best country in the world into farming is Israel. But do you know that they don't really have water like that? They don't even have. The system they operate in that place, do you know the system? It's a system of irrigation. And yet they are the best. If you want to do well in agroeconomics, you want to learn about seedlings, you want to learn about how to different varieties, you need to go to Israel. In fact, there are people carrying out project as it is now, digging, you know, they have plenty desert there, putting water into it, importing fish, and making ponds, artificial ponds, and they are using that manure or the waste from the fish pond, using it to irrigate their farm. So when David was speaking here that as the heart pants after the water brooks, he was saying that, hey, there is scarcity already around me. So somebody who needs water, how do you expect him to behave? To behave well? Answer me. Do you need the person to behave well? He says, as the heart pants. That word pants is very strong.
pants after the water brooks. He says, so my soul thirsts after you. Verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 3. Say, my tears have been my meat day and night. Does it sound like somebody experiencing delay? Just like many of us. Yeah, we come to church, we look good, we smile, even though the smile is artificial. The moment you step back, you step out of church, we step out of church, you step into your house, something else takes over. And it's because expectations are unmet. Let me skip the third class. Actually, were the disciples. They began to doubt on the road to Emmaus. I won't Luke chapter 24. On the road to Emmaus, they were talking and all of that. Said, this is the third day. We have not seen him. He told us that this building will bring it down in 3. He will raise it up again. We have not even seen this. They began to doubt, and the delay was making them become agitated. Hallelujah. I was almost tempted to say, and this is the question I want to ask before I even bring my own opinion. Does God cause delay? Is God responsible for delay? At times. Sometimes. I want us to be real. Please, I want us to speak up. Do you think God is responsible for delay? Sometimes. Well, not everyone is speaking. Yeah. Do we have scriptures to back it up? Okay. But there was no place that God said he was the one who holding Sarah back from giving birth. No, that was when God was coming into the situation. Abi, when the three angels visited Abi, and they served them food, and they said, oh, by this time next year, you'll have a child, and she giggled and like, in chapter 15. But God did, it didn't appear like it was God causing the delay. It was just like God coming into the situation and to say, okay, you know what, I will rescue, I will do something about it. Any other scripture? Joseph. But did God say he was the one responsible for the delay? That's actually what I want us to bring out from all of these things. Most times when you see God painted from the angle of delay, it is actually people interpreting it as delay. It's still all about expectations. And the truth is, God does not use this watch. This idea of wristwatch, it is man-made. It was man who brought it. Bible says, I think it's in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 or something. It says, 1,000 years. It's like a day before God. In fact, there's a study I'm doing. The creation took how many days? 6 days. Is it each day, was it the 24 hours? Eh? We'll come back later to do that. There are plenty school of thought about that. I agree with you, but we have to look at some other part. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3. I think I have something in 2 Peter. That's 1,000. So most times when people are experiencing delay, it is them reacting to God. Or bringing God. It is when men are bringing God into the equation. Hallelujah. It's when we are bringing God into the equation. God. And you know our prayer lines. What are our prayer lines? Eh? Our prayer lines. I graduated. Let's not even use long time ago. I want us to put number to it. I graduated 2 years ago. I have not. Who said the number in it? Was it God who mentioned it? Who mentioned it? I've been married 3 years ago. I have no. Who put number to it? Hallelujah. So the concept of delay is not really about, is not, most times they are not from, did I say most times? It is man reacting to God to say, you are delaying. It is man reacting to God. So, if, and I will give you a scripture. It says, if we agree that God delays or is slow to act, he is only slow to act because he wants his mercy to linger. Somebody didn't hear that. Huh? His delay is to give enough time for repentance. Do you agree with that? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Give me 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Second Peter 3:9. You can even go back a bit to the 3 verse 8 where we're talking about. Verse 8. Do we have verse 8? Verse 8 says what? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as what? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as what? One day. Verse 9. My emphasis. It says, the Lord is not slack. No, I want you to read it. If I'm reading it, it will be like I inserted it there. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Uh-huh. So if God is slack, why is God slack? Amplify it, please. Let me loud it. Amplify it.
That the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So if our adventure God is delaying, there's something God is looking at. That the reason why you don't have some things, this is from God's perspective, oh, because there are three sources of delay. We have just looked at it, though I don't agree that God is responsible for delay. The number two source of delay is who? Man. Number three, Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So scripture says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness or sluggishness. Instead, he is patient. And that is what we fail to see a lot of times. The patient character of God. But I have a word for somebody. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 28. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, therefore say to them, the harvest word assembly, this is what the sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Somebody didn't hear that. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Amen. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, amen, declares the sovereign Lord. The second word, Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. Scripture says, and he swore by himself, by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth, are you there already? And all that is in it, the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. That is not believing enough. That is not believing enough. That is a prophetic word for somebody. There will be no more delay in your life. There will be no more delay. There will be no more delay. I have plenty other things here, but let me move to the number two thing. The second reason why men are hungry with God. Diverted blessings. What did I call it? Diverted blessings or diverted rewards. Genesis 27 from verse 1. Another person, Genesis chapter 48. The issue of diverted is what a lot of times we believers experience without, and we don't know it. But I want us to read this scripture first. And we'll see for ourselves there. Verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, are we all there? And he said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and your bow, and go to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. Verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Verse 6, where my emphasis will be. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard that your father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will take them, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau thy brother is a hairy man, and I am smooth man. We know this story, right? Who did the father intended that the blessing should be for? The blessings went to who? Hallelujah. Let me give us another one. Joseph had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, right? He was about to die also. And he was blessing the children. What did he do? He crossed his hands. And the father of the children had to correct him, like, Papa, you are missing it. The right hand should be on the eldest son. And the other hand, the left hand, should be on the younger one. And the grandpa said, no, I know what I'm doing. That blessing originally should have gone to Manasseh. Do you agree with me? Do we agree? But the blessing went to who? That blessing was actually meant for the first son. The issue of Esau and Jacob, the blessing was meant for who? The first. And Pastor said something very interesting last week. He said the first son is not the first by number. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the blessing was originally meant for you, being the first, but diverted. Hallelujah. Believers, we experience this a lot. A lot of believers experience this a lot. That the blessings you are working, it's your right, you deserve it. The promotion actually meant to be given to you. The official car was supposed to be given to you. The house was supposed to be given to you. But somehow, the devil came and some manipulations came. And what was meant for you goes to another person. That is not your portion. I said that is not your portion. In the name of Jesus. So blessings can be delayed. That's number one. Number two is what? They can be diverted. If you don't sit up spiritually, your blessings, things that belong, that should be yours, can be diverted. So these things are real. They are not just tabi shugbon or trying to cook up things. Blessings can be denied. Blessings can be delayed. Blessings can be diverted. So you need to sit up spiritually. You know that the way pastor will tell us, like, yes, Jesus did it. He died, Jesus did it, I believe it, I claim it, and all of that. Yes, it's true. But if you slack, the devil will roast you. A lot of people, they've told you, you are getting this admission, you are getting this job. All of a sudden, you go there to resume, you are looking for your name on the board, and you can no longer find your name there. Haven't you heard about things like that before? Like, no. I was the one who, on the computer, I entered your name. When this admission is coming out, your name is number 18. And the admission came out, you went to the board, and lo and behold, number 18, you are looking, number 18. You call Pastor Tokwe, Pastor Tokwe, please come and help me look at this. Am I seeing where this is not my name? You have been surcharged. You have been surcharged. By the time Esau came back and he had prepared the venison, it was too late. It was too late already. Hallelujah. Because of time, let me rush to the number three one, the third one. How many more minutes do I have? 10. Number one is what? Or delayed blessings. Number two is what? Number three is denied. You can be denied. Or no more. Somebody didn't hear. No more. You will no longer be denied. You will no longer be denied. Your spot is secured. In the name of Jesus. You will no longer receive rejection mail. It has affected you so much that even in your dream life you are seeing rejection, denied. I declare by the grace of God that is at work in this assembly upon this commission, you will no longer receive that again. In the name of Jesus. So it can be denied. Who remember Esther? Our uncle. Who was our uncle? Mordecai. Bible says Mordecai saw two men plotting evils against the kingdom. And he reported the matter to the secretary of the palace. What was done? Nothing. Fast forward to chapter 3. Instead of Mordecai being promoted, it was Haman that got elevated, denied. God, out of the blues, denied the king sleep. One night he said, give me the chronicles. Let me see what has been going on in this palace. Bring let me see people who have been coming and going, the things they've been bringing to the palace. And the king opened and he saw a place where it had been journaled that there was a time that there was a plot against the king and the kingdom. And the king said, what has been done? What compensation has this man that did this received? You know what the response was? What was the response? None. A lot of us were working. We are the one doing the job. And God is your witness. But some of your colleagues are your witness in the office. That when they say the job, the person who is getting the thing, who is getting the deal, but because of your supervisor, when your supervisor is sending the document, what happens? He will put his own name there. I don't know if somebody can relate. I'm speaking prophetically to somebody in this place. You are the one getting the job done. You are the one doing the work, but you are not the one reaping the benefits. So the king called. Ah, this guy needs to be promoted. We need to revisit this matter. And he looked at it again. But you see, because the forces against this Haman and Mordecai and the children of Israelite was not joking, wasn't sipping tea. The guy, the king asked him, what do you think we should do for a man that has done so? What was the response? Give him a signet, a royal signet. Give him a special coat. Let him be on a donkey. Let him go around the city. And men and women hailing him. Behold the man that the king has decided to honor. But in his heart, who was he thinking of? Himself. It was still denial. It was still denial. But by the time God will work for him, the denial turned to delivery. And that is your portion in the name of Jesus. I want us to be on our feet. This is not intended to be a long